Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
This morning's reading comes from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 19, and can be found on page 43 of your red Bibles. Jacob's dream at Bethel. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. This is the word of the Lord. God.
Well, we're beginning our Advent series, and the title is When Heaven and Earth Meet. We've just launched our vision, and our vision is to be a place with refreshing faith in Jesus Christ, so that we might be life-giving to the believer, surprising to the world, and strengthening to the weary and doubting. Now, sometimes I feel about as refreshing as this. I can't get water out of it, let alone blood. It's heavy, it's very dry. When I come to Christmas, well, I really want to be excited. I want Phoebe to have a great Christmas. I want to be happy about getting the decorations out and making it all come together. Sometimes it just feels like this. And then when I think about some of the other complications of Christmas, family, work, can really start to feel like this. Or this is me at Aldi when I forget to get a trolley. Just one more thing. Oh. It's heavy. And it's impossible for me to refresh myself in this world without some external resources. I used to say to the girls at Ivanhoe Girls Grammar that the reason why chapel was a good thing for them was that it actually provided different resources. They were used to relying on themselves. They were used to looking around at their teachers or their best books or their families for support. But there will be times when that is just not enough. And we need resources that will refresh us from above. Well, in our story today from the first book of the Bible, Genesis, we have one of what we call the patriarchs, that is, the first family or ancestors that God revealed himself to and that built the people of Israel, whose promises we as Christians inherit and delight in. There was Abraham, and there was Isaac, his son, and there was Jacob, Isaac's son. But Isaac had two sons. He had Esau, or Esau, and he had Jacob. And Esau was the firstborn, and he was the manly man. We just watched a fantastic movie, called Fast and Furious Hobbs and Shaw. It's just super highbrow. Anyway, it's got The Rock in it, and that's Esau. Esau's The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. And then, of course, there was Jacob, and Jacob was more the cultural stay-at-home sort of fellow. And yet he had this promise that the younger would lead, or the older would serve the younger. And so he grew up with this kind of call that he felt that God was going to give him the blessing and inheritance. He would be the next patriarch, as it were, not Esau. And so he decided to take that upon himself, and he swapped the casserole that he'd made for Esau's birthright, and then he came and pretended, I don't know how you pretend to be the Rock, but Esau was hairy, and so he had fur on him and stuff, and he pretended to be Esau to his father, and he got the blessing. But the thing was that doing all of that was a great burden. He really didn't feel that it was coming to him easy, and in fact, when he did that, his brother was so furious that he had to go. It was too much. And so he had to leave his home in Beersheba, and he headed off, really fleeing for his life, but needing to start again. And he had nothing. And so when he came to nightfall, rather than being able to stay in someone's home where they would offer hospitality, we've talked about that before in the ancient Near East, very important, he had nothing except a stone for his pillow. Now, the text also may be referring to not simply having a stone for a pillow, I'm not sure which one you'd choose, but using stones to protect his head as he lay in the open wilderness. And that just gives me the shivers to think about what you're protecting your head from as you're asleep in the wilderness. But there he is, and he is lying on and surrounded by these stones. And he has nothing. Now, he's heard about the promises of God. And he's heard about his whole life. He's heard about these kind of moments that his ancestors had with God, and they made these little towers to say, this is the place that God met me. And, you know, and Abraham and Isaac, and they were going to go to the promised land. And all along, his whole history is littered with these sort of monuments to what God had done in the past. And he'd heard about this. But it was nothing more than a memory. And so as he lies down in the wilderness, stones for his pillow, stones in his memory, he really is expecting nothing. But then this. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Now, we might have heard of Jacob's Ladder. I don't know if you have, and there's been movies and things, and lots of artwork. I didn't want to show artwork today. But here we have, really, not so much a ladder, but a vast staircase. In fact, some commentators think that it might have been a picture of the side of a ziggurat or a pyramid. You know how they were these kind of stones all packed up like a stairway all the way to heaven. And the point of that, of course, was that it was a temple and that human beings would indeed reach God. But suddenly for Jacob, in this place of nothing, the stone becomes a stone stairway all the way to the place of God. earth and heaven meet. I haven't been to Canberra, or Parliament House. I have been to Canberra. I haven't been to Parliament House, but I imagine it full of government aides doing the work. I don't know. Am I right? You know, the parliamentarians are kind of sitting and having their, you know, doing what they're doing, having their arguments. And in the background, there's this. You know, government aides doing their thing. Or maybe it's like this now. This is the stairway. These are the royal emissaries of the government of heaven going forth to do the work and coming back with the responses. The messages are going out and the reports are coming back. There is work of God happening in this place. Heaven is active where he thought there was nothing. The veil has been opened, the curtain has been opened, and he can see, Jacob can see. Heaven is at work. Heaven is at work in the midst of his burden. Heaven is at work when he has only a stone for a pillow. Heaven is at work. Now, for a good Jew, this could have been enough. To see the angels of God was basically to see God. You didn't even expect that if you were to meet God, you would meet him. That would be terrifying. You would be dead. So the angels, that was enough to know that God was at work in this place, that maybe you hadn't mucked everything up and that he hadn't abandoned you. But there's more. There above it, right at the top, or some would say, some readings say, there above him, right at his face, stood the Lord. And God said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. Those people that had had those promises that were just a memory. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you. And the text has this real emphatic, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, right? So when I say that, I don't want you to think that I have somehow mysterious knowledge. You just read some stuff, okay? But the text has this emphasis that it's like, I am really with you. And I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. I wanted to do this Advent series because I wanted to explore what happens in the Bible and in human experience when heaven and earth meet. How do we get to know God? How does he reveal himself in those moments where people have had these amazing encounters? And I couldn't go past in Genesis the fact that God, when he meets people, is a God of promise. So Abraham had met God and he'd made his vows to him, having received his promises. Isaac. And now Jacob meets God, sees that God is at work in this place, but more than that, receives for himself the promises that had been given to his ancestors. No longer would they be just a memory, but they would be, in fact, something real for him. He now could make his own pillar. He now could say, I met God. And those promises that I'd only heard about, I know that they are real. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called that place Bethel, which means the house of God. For Jacob, the promises now were no longer simply a memory, but they were something living. Something now had come from outside and had changed what these stones were about. Something had come from outside and made his burden, made his nothing, made that rock that was in the pit of his stomach as well as under his head, made it different, made it living, made it anointed, changed his life. If you're familiar with the Gospels, you may know that Jesus talked about Jacob. Jesus talked about Jacob meeting God, and he said this. He's talking to a guy called Nathanael, and he sees Nathanael under a fig tree. We don't know what the mystery was there exactly. And he says, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." Like, easy audience. Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree?" Tiny, tiny little bit of sarcasm. I love it. "You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Heaven and earth met not simply in those moments for those special ones back in the Old Testament, but in fact, Jesus Christ himself. I would say just the cross, but it's not. It's his whole ministry, the cross and the resurrection, is actually that stairway where all the things of heaven are happening, and they are for everyone. And they are not simply a memory. Now, it did happen thousands of years ago. And sometimes we might feel like Jacob, and we're saying, "Well, I know those things happened, maybe to my family, maybe to me, but it's just a memory. It's not alive. I'm not refreshed by it." But the Bible says this when it comes to the promises of God in Jesus Christ. "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." In the season of Advent, we are not simply counting down to Christmas Day. We are waiting for the promises of God to be fulfilled. The book of 2 Peter says, people say, "Why does everything go on as it always has if God's promises are going to be fulfilled?" And I tell you, I ask that question too. But the Bible says that we ought to know in our heart of hearts that this is only a moment in God's eyes. That this is only a tick of the clock compared to the future that exists. And we are not left without a meeting of our own to assure us of the promises of God. So Paul says, we're anointed, that the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And so when we have our own stone, when we have our own burdens, when we wonder whether we can have any refreshing from all that we have, it's different. God has poured out his Spirit upon us as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. We do not simply have a monument in Christ. We have the gift of God himself meeting us, and it changes everything. This rock is different. It changes everything. In fact, I might go as far as to say that we might even receive water out of these rocks. Do you know that Paul talked about that? He said that as the Israelites walked in the wilderness and they met God and God refreshed them with water from a stone, actually that stone was like Christ. That whatever we have, be it small, be it hard, be it heavy, it is changed when we meet God by his Holy Spirit and he's poured out on us. And then the promise is that Christ himself will bring water out of even this. Now, when we take communion in just a few moments, I'm going to have this table down on the side. And if you feel like you'd like in prayer to hold one of these stones and to just take a few moments to just engage with God about what is heavy and what you would like to be refreshed and how you need to be anointed, how you need to meet him in a new way so that his promises are not simply memories, but they are sealed so that you know they will be delivered, then you may take a moment with the stones. I'll put them out so that if you want to, you know, a few people can do it at one time. But what we're going to do now, as we finish, I would encourage you to stand. You can sit again in a minute, it's okay. And just take a moment, close your eyes. Sorry that I'm rubbing my hands with the oil. Looks a little shifty, but I'm just giving myself a hand massage. Just take a moment to talk to God. Wherever you're at, even if you think, nah, I'm not even sure he's around, just take a moment maybe to meditate on what feels heavy and ask God, if you're there, I need to meet you. Let's just take a moment in silence. Heavenly Father, we want to turn our pillows of stone into the pillars of worship to you. To know that in our hardest moments, in our driest moments, in our burdens, in our heaviness, in our limited resources in this world, that when we meet you, that when we see Jesus as the one upon whom the angels of God ascend and descend, when we meet you, things would be shifted, things would be changed. Lord, would you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us? May it indeed be like oil on those memories. May it indeed be like oil on those promises. Something living, something sealed. May it be like balm to our souls. And may you refresh us. Lord, in the midst of these stones of our lives, bring water. Help us to see that you are really with us, that you will go with us wherever we go, that heaven is in this place, and you are Jesus Christ, the gate of heaven. Amen.